Hello, everyone. This is the Dream It Alive show. I'm your host, Ash Kumra, co-founder of DreamItAlive.com. DreamItAlive.com is an online community where you can get helpful visualization tools, goal-setting tools like dream boards, and personal development content. All of this is to help you become the best version of yourself. So check it out. Become the best version of you. Check out DreamItAlive.com. Along those lines of what it means to become the best version of yourself is what I feel needing to hear inspired stories, inspired lessons from achievers that have really lived their dream life. People that no matter what is thrown in front of them, they will learn from it, they will find a way to make it happen, and they will just take charge of their lives and not only inspire themselves, but inspire us to really see that we all can be visionaries. And today's guest is someone I feel really exudes this. I mean, his name is Kute Bloxon, and he is a unique visionary in the world of human potential. His whole life work is all about helping people reveal what they have to give by liberating who they are most truly and deeply. And how he does this is by showcasing how we all have the freedom to do this. He has a very unique background. He has lived across the world. He was born in Ghana, and his father is a Ghanaian, and his mother was Japanese. He was raised in London, and he lived on four different continents. And his story is just amazing. He's someone I feel that is what I feel is happening right now in our conscious evolution of humanity is really helping us learn to awaken that freedom, that spirit, that jovial purpose within ourselves. And I'm hoping to learn how to do this, and I hope you will too. So how are you doing today, sir?
How are you?
Hey, good. You having
great,
a good day?
Great to be here. Yeah, it's great to be here, man. Looking forward to chatting with you and exploring possibilities together.
Yes. So why don't you tell us a little about your upbringing and how you got to where you are right now, if you don't mind.
Oh, sure, sure. I was born in Ghana, as you mentioned. I was born in Ghana, West Africa. My father's from Ghana. My mother's Japanese. I grew up in London and always grew up feeling like a citizen of the world, you know. And my first memories that really impacted my life were really two things. The first thing was I always, as a young boy, around age 4, age 5, age 6, felt a deep calling, a calling to serve humanity. I felt a sense of purpose as a child and wasn't sure exactly what it was. I just knew that I was here to make a difference in people's lives. And the other memory as a 5-year-old kid was I remember being around 5, around age 6 in Ghana, West Africa, and seeing a crippled woman crawling on the floor. And I'll never forget being a chubby kid lost in the crowd, seeing this woman crawling on the floor. She picks up the sand that a man walks on and wipes it on her face and literally stands up. This is a woman that couldn't walk. She was like crippled, literally. And I remember seeing her stand up thinking, wow, that's pretty cool. And he didn't know. And this same man, it was my father. And week after week, I'd see the same man put his hands on someone that was blind, and they would literally see, put his hands on a woman in a wheelchair and she would stand up, put his hands on a person with crutches or, a person who was sick or had cancer. And literally I'd see these miracles happen. So I always grew up with a sense of possibility that anything was possible. And at age 8, I started, my father had about 300 churches in Ghana, West Africa, one in London. And around age 8, I was thrown into the audience, started speaking in my father's churches. And for me, that was a moment of destiny where I felt I'll never forget standing in front of 4,000 or 5,000 people where just words started flying out of my mouth. And I knew in that moment that there was something, there was a force and energy of life that was channeling through me and expressing itself. And age 14, I was ordained as a minister, given the mandate to take over my father's churches. And for me, my whole life, Ash, was set out for me. My entire future was kind of mapped out in a sense by my father, and I always knew I wanted to make a difference in people's lives. But around that age, you know, I just felt like something, I felt like there was something more, but I wasn't quite sure what it was. And you know, I went to a stage where even though something didn't fully align, because I wanted my father's love and validation and approval, I went through with being ordained and being kind of announced the successor of this huge organization that he had. And I remember being around 14, 15, reading a few books on spirituality. And I grew up reading, hundreds of books, trying to find you know, the answers to the questions I've been asking myself is, who am I and why am I here and what's the purpose of life and, you know, what's the source of happiness and why are some people happy when they have every reason to not be happy and why are some people unhappy when they have every reason to be happy. So this became, for me as a young boy, a complete obsession and a passion of mine to ask questions, find answers. And I remember reading around 14, 15, a book by a man called Krishnamurti who had a similar upbringing.
Oh, yeah.
But from the Indian tradition from Madras, and he was kind of being groomed to take over a spiritual organization and left everything, you know, went through with it, left everything behind and talked about a free mind is not a conditioned mind. A free mind is not a Buddhist mind, a Jewish mind, a Christian mind, a Catholic. It's free. And just some of the things he said in his book blew my mind. And I knew as a 15-year-old boy, you know, we all have those moments where we have an epiphany and we feel that something more than we're currently living right now, we're seeking to express itself, something more than we're currently expressing in our lives, doing, expressing, whether it's a job, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a life path we're going down, there's something more that is seeking to happen through us and we can feel it. And that gap between what we're living and that deeper knowing is often, you know, if we don't listen to that knowing, that gap is what creates suffering, because there's a part of us that we know. We have this knowing, but I think sometimes to listen to the truth of our souls, to listen to the truth of our hearts can be a little scary. Scary because it will mean going into the unknown. Scary because sometimes following our own true soul's knowing will mean disappointing people. For me, it meant the potential of disappointing my father and being an outcast and not having a relationship with him anymore and, you know, just being alone. And that was my great fear at that time. And I think we often feel a knowing because there is an intelligence inside of each one of us, an intelligence that knows what we need to do. There's an intelligence. I often hear people say, you know, I don't know. What should I do? What should I do? And I think what often blocks people from truly living a big life, truly living their purpose, truly succeeding, is we play a game called I don't know, and we confuse ourselves and we pretend not to know because we're afraid, if I really follow my knowing, what would the consequences be? What will happen? Maybe it will mean the end of my relationship or I have to leave my job because it's not in alignment with who I am, and how will I survive? So it's the fear that often keeps us stuck. And for me, it took me about four years to muster up, literally on a daily basis, to muster up the courage to follow my inner knowing, to follow the knowing of the truth that I knew I had to leave my father's church, I had to leave the organization and follow my own path, which was to inspire and speak and really do what I'm doing today. And 17, 18, I think I was 17 and a half, 18, had to have a tough conversation with my father and let him know I'm not taking over. I knew that. I remember having a moment where feeling like I was at a crossroads and I could follow the safe path, the path that was set out for me, or I could follow the path of my heart, I could follow the path of my soul. And I knew that if I followed the safe path, the path that was set out, there was a part of me that would die, and I could feel that so deeply. So I made the crazy, bold choice at a young age of following my heart and telling him I'm not taking over and really going on my own way. And I believe that when you really follow the intelligence of your soul, when you really follow your highest calling, I believe that the universe is not simply waiting to support you. The support is already there. It's actually waiting for us. So I followed the deeper calling of my soul, the deeper calling of my heart, and cut a long story short, I ended up winning a green card in the green card lottery, which was truly miraculous. And for me, that was another sign that I was on the right path. And I believe that the universe gives us signs, constant signs along the way, but we must be obedient to our souls, to the knowing inside, and trust the intelligence that's guiding us. And that brought me to the U.S. I came to the U.S. with two suitcases, $1,000 in my pocket, and you know, went in the country and went on a quest to find teachers and all these amazing folks that I'd read about since I was a kid, you know, the Chopras of the world, the Marianne Williamsons of the world, and many unknown people, also healers and teachers, and that took me around the world and traveling and seeking, and to India, to Thailand, to Israel, to Japan, to, I mean, just you name it, in search of answers. And it was really out of that, out of my own pain, out of my own transformation, out of my own journey, that I created a unique way of working with people and assisting people in being themselves fully, assisting people in living authentic lives, assisting people in really reconnecting with who they truly are and living that fully and giving their unique gifts to the world. So that's what I do, and that's how I kind of got to this point.
That's amazing. Well, that's such an expansive story. Thank you for sharing that. I truly mean that. So many questions and comments come to my mind. One I would love to kind of dive a little deeper on is, yes, you know, you talked about this divine calling, this divine gift that your family had kind of helped you realize, specifically your father. You know, with me and many people I've encountered with DreamingAlive.com, we believe at least that, you know, that divine calling really comes from, you know, really understanding yourself. And understanding yourself comes from doing meditation, visualizing, you know, eating right, being around great people. I'm curious, what habits do you do that helps you kind of figure out your purpose or helps you ensure that you're on the right purpose? Because many people have the power like you do, and many people might not know that they how they can manifest or see this power, such as maybe not say, maybe they won't be a preacher, but maybe they're meant to be a, you know, run a charity or maybe be an entrepreneur.
Exactly.
Or be an athlete. What habits do you do?
You know, there's a few. Obviously, meditation is okay. Been key. I started meditating very young, but I really believe that, you know, connected to what you're saying, it's an important question, is what I saw get in the way of us living our highest self, truly manifesting our visions. You know, we often sabotage, we often, you know, play these games inside that stop us from truly shining our light and stepping into our greatness. And the habits, all of the positive habits really assist in that. But what I found blocks people is, how can I say, we're conditioned. You know, we are so conditioned. You know, as children, we are born free. You know, as children, in a sense, we're born in touch with our infinity, with our divinity, with our natural innate essence. If you look at a child, a child will jump on the table and dance and sing and fall down and, you know, look around and then stand up again, and it doesn't dwell too much. If it feels a certain way, it expresses it. If it feels the cry, it cries, and it's over, it moves on. It's just, it's a free, flowing, fluid being. And as children, you know, I think there's a reason when you look into a child's eyes, we are reminded of ourselves. There's a reason when you look into our child's eyes, we reconnected to our own innocence. There's an essential nature inside of a child that is truly alive. And I think we can all remember those moments when we were children, unconditioned beings that were really free, in touch with our hearts, in touch with our souls, in touch with our divinity, so to speak. But as we enter life, we slowly start getting conditioned, you know, dealing with our parents, some of which, you know, they're just doing the best they can, but can be a little strange, and they have their own journeys, their own wounds, their own challenges. And as children, we get conditioned by our parents, and sometimes we're born into certain situations and circumstances as children that can be very painful, very challenging, you know, unsafe, traumatic for some of us, been through many traumatic things. And what I found is, as children, we learn a certain set strategy and a way of being to avoid pain, to not feel the pain of being abandoned, to not feel the pain of not being loved or accepted, or the conditional sense of love from our parents, or to not feel them around, or the pain of divorce, or the pain of abuse. So we learn a certain way of being to disconnect from who we are, to disconnect from our feeling, our emotion, to disconnect from the deeper feeling, because to be so open as a child and feel, and to feel what's going on around us and be so sensitive, can be quite painful. So we shut parts of ourselves down ultimately to survive, and that shuts us off from our heart, that shuts us off from the full range of our capacity to feel and be fully alive. So that's one part. And then what I found is, you know, as children, we start learning all sorts of ways to fit in, to be loved. Who do I need to be in order for you to love me? Who do I need to be in order for you to be validated, to fit into the club, to my school, to my peer group? And before you know it, we go out into the world and we start developing a persona, a mask, a mechanism, a strategy, a way of being in the world to get love, be approved, fit in, ultimately, again, survival, avoid pain, and get love, be approved. And before you know it, we contort ourselves and kind of hold tightly onto this persona that we created to survive, and we call this me. This is just who I am. This is just me. You know, we often say, well, no, it's just who I am. So I like to ask people, you know, and a habit that I got into that was really powerful was questioning myself, inquiring. And the question I started asking myself, I'll ask the listeners is, you know, is who you are really who you think you are? And I think part of the foundation to living a big life, to truly fulfilling your authentic dreams, is being in touch with who you really are. Because many times in the process of getting conditioned, we are not necessarily in touch with who we really are, but we've been conditioned to be someone that we think we are, but we're really, really not. And based on that disconnection, we're often choosing goals. You know, there's so many books out there that teach us how to get what you want, get what the car you want, the house you want, the relationship, get what you want in the world. And you might achieve that thing or get that thing that you wanted, only to realize it's not what you really wanted, it's what you thought you wanted based on who you thought you were. So if you're not really in touch, because we start developing layer upon layer upon layer of defense mechanism, layer upon layer upon layer, that's really our persona, and we grip so tightly to that we think it's who we are. So I say, if you're not in touch with who you truly are, you won't really be in touch with what your real dream is. And many times, to the degree that we are conditioned, we're not clear. To the degree we're conditioned, we can't actually choose or see clearly. So to really identify what it is you really want, I believe it's important to know who you truly are. And from that place, as you peel those layers away from that place, you see clearly. You're motivated by what's pure, by your soul, by love. And then you can go out into the world and be a powerful force. So I think it's important to question yourself, which was a habit I got into. The meditation helped, the questioning, who am I? And that really helped. Journaling really helped as a way to process my feelings, because so much of what we feel as children has been suppressed and stuffed down and repressed, that it clouds our perception, it clouds our sense of who we are. So for years as a child, I would journal my feelings out, journal my sadness out, journal and reflect on myself and my thoughts and my conditioning, and, you know, asking myself, is this what I really believe? Is this really my belief? Is this really my thought? Or is it something that was passed down to me by my parents, by my conditioning, by the media? What do I really feel? So I think it's important that we know who we are, because based on knowing who you are is when you can actually choose clearly and create a life that is an authentic expression of who you are, not a false expression of who you are. And to me, that's cool. Then you can really manifest your dreams.
That's amazing. No, I wow. I mean, what I love about when you speak is that there's so many follow-up questions I can have, but I'm going to focus on the major ones because it's just, wow. I really love that answer. I have a question on that, that once you know your calling, and I definitely agree with you that as a child, it's very easy to be imaginative. And then as you get older, sometimes that imaginative loses or goes away because of society and pressures and conforming to the real world. Once you know your vision or once you know your calling, what are the first steps? And I know you've written an awesome book on this that I got from your company, and then, you know, you talk about this. What do you do next? Like, if you don't know, you have no clue, you don't even know what a vision board is, you figured out meditating in this dream, how do you go at it and make it happen? What is your advice for that person?
Yeah, first, if you sense a calling, and it depends, if you sense a calling and you're clear on, okay, it needs to take the form of a book, or it needs to take the form of a screenplay or an album or a song, or, you know, what, if you're clear on the form, that's great. But many people aren't clear on the form. So I think if you feel a calling in your heart and impulse, say yes to it. And many times we get hung up on the how do I make money? How does this happen? So I say let go of the how, because that's coming from a certain part of the brain that's just trying to figure everything out. And many times what stops us from taking the next step is we're so bogged down in all the hows that we can't see right now that we actually don't take the next step that's necessary. So once you feel the calling, say yes. Open your heart and fully accept the calling, this impulse that you're feeling that's seeking to express through you. I say that your dreams are encoded in your dreams, are already the seed for its fulfillment, and your dreams are the way that the infinite, that life itself is seeking to express itself through you. So when you say yes to that, you can trust that there is an intelligent consciousness that is encoded in your dreams, that it knows how to fulfill itself. If you are willing to say yes and get yourself out of the way, yes, it helps to have a plan, but I think one mistake that many people make that stops them from taking the next step that you're talking about is we're trying to figure everything out. You know, we're trying to figure out, you know, how this whole thing's going to happen. I feel this calling. How is this big vision going to manifest itself in the world? I don't know. I've never done it before. What do I do? And we often paralyze ourselves. That one thing I found that's helped me create a lot in the world is say yes, forget the how, feel it, and take the next step. And you take the next step and you move in the direction of the next step. What's the next step? Well, maybe it's to make that phone call. Maybe it's to, you know, sit down and do some writing. Maybe it's to do some research. Yes, know where you're going. Know your outcome. You know, if you want to write down some of the other steps, write them down. But it still is going to come down to what's the next step I need to take. And I believe it's important that even if you're not clear, we can all get clear on what the next step is, and maybe the next step is you pick up the phone and ask for some help, ask for some direction, or you sit down and you write in your journal. Everyone can do the next step, and I believe that so many of us, and I found this in my life, we're thinking big, we have these big ideas, big visions, it's great, but there is what I call the power of thinking small, and the power of thinking small is do not underestimate the small step. The small step that's in front of you that you might think is not going to make a big difference, but if you make it, then you move in the direction. And what's important is movement, that you move in the direction of your vision, because that movement, as you take that next step, even though you don't know the entire plan, as you take that next step, it's often when you reach that next step that the next step after that will reveal itself. And then the next step after that will reveal itself. And then the next step after that will reveal itself. A vision board is helpful. One thing I found, because you mentioned the vision board, is yes, it's great. Do the vision board, write in your journal, set your goals, do all those basic important things to living your dreams. But one thing I've seen that sometimes many people make is they hide behind meditating and doing a vision board and, you know, journaling, and almost use those as subtle mechanisms to procrastinate, when really the universe rewards action. And what's important is when you take the next step, what you need to know, what you need will be revealed in the process of life itself. So as you move forward, I always invite people to embrace not knowing. The degree to which you can get comfortable with not knowing is the degree to which you will be free. If you can rest and dance in the unknown and allow life to reveal itself in the process. So I say every goal is simply fulfilled one step at a time. Everyone can do one step. And then there's no overwhelm to the mind. Your ego's not freaked out because, yes, I can make this one phone call. So I found that to be really, really, really helpful. And taking action is definitely important.
Okay, well that's a great segue to our final question, and thank you for sharing that. That's very helpful knowledge there. What is the most exciting thing about 2015 that just gets you jacked up? Like, what is it? What is the thing that you are sharing with your clients, your fans, your friends, fellow entrepreneurs, fellow speakers? Like, what is the thing or things that excite you?
You talking about a project I'm working on, or are you talking about?
It could be anything. It's a high level question. Wow. So whatever you feel.
So many things, you know. Well, you know, ultimately, I'm always excited about reaching more people and inspiring more people. That's kind of my personal passion and excitement, and it's been my mission since I was, you know, 5-6 year old child. So just the opportunity to have the conversation and just, you know, touch whoever and hopefully inspire whoever's listening is just that excitement never ceases to leave. So I'm always excited about that. One project I'm very specifically excited about is an online summit that we're launching February the 2nd through the 8th called the Secret to Success Summit, where I'm interviewing Jack Canfield, Don Miguel Ruiz, Marianne Williamson, Lisa Nichols, Ariel Ford, Panache Desai, Michael Beckwith, and like 27, 28 other visionaries from around the world where I really get to pick their brains and get into their minds and explore with these experts their different modalities and perceptions on success and what it takes to truly succeed. And that's really, really exciting for me. And hopefully we can share that link with your listeners. And I mean, you know, I could go on and on and on and on, but I believe that we live in an amazing time right now. We live in such incredible times where old systems are collapsing, old ways of doing things are falling apart. And I believe that we are being invited for each of us to rise up, to remember who we are, to reconnect and not only remember but embody our true divinity, our true essential nature. And what was perhaps left for rarefied beings in the Himalayas, I think in this day and age, we are all being challenged and invited to realize our true nature and that consciousness that the great avatars and teachers and light beings were gestating is now available. It's becoming available to each of us. And in that moment, we realize, wow, we've always been, you know, awake. We've always been alive. We've always been whole and perfect. And for me, that's really exciting as well.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for doing what you're doing. I will definitely share your upcoming event with our community. And more importantly, thanks for continuing doing what you're doing. It's awesome to be knowing you and definitely am inspired by you. And I can't wait to see all the other stuff you're going to be doing.
Awesome. Be really, really great. And if anyone, you know, would love to connect with me, I would love to just invite those listening to my website is www.coutblackson.com. There's some amazing free gifts there. And I think, Ash, you can also post that website along with this interview. It's been a joy hanging with you, man. And keep up the great work inspiring people on your end. And we're all, you know, on this journey together. And stay inspired, everyone.
Sounds great. Have a great day.
Thank you. Awesome.